Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Solar Monkey, and it is the ninth day of the Blue Night Wave Spell. It is the planetary moon day 26. Yeah, I feel like I was oversharing my last couple of episodes. Didn't I talk about peeing on Friday? Yellow rhythmic star. It's so embarrassing. No, I'm doing it again. But that's just a cell phone. Jesus. And then I did do a broadcast on YouTube this weekend, which I think make sure you know about if you wish you had some info and the days between are weekdays. I don't know. Maybe I'm overproducing, but I'm just trying to sit with images of my own face and my own aging face. It's extreme and empowering, question mark. So the current time, you know, I want to be kind of demure today and not jam a bunch of ideas through, because I think what I was expressing actually in a way that was well spoken on Friday was just that the planetary moon is drying me out. Like, I am tapped on the experience. And, you know, we have a couple more days to go, and I'm definitely capable of enduring. And there have already been shifts just from being honest with myself about how frazzled I get when I am exposed to the planetary tone for too long. And that's it. Just like, again, planetary feels a bit like having sort of a big brother looking over your shoulder, big brother as in Orwell, and being confined by the state of the world that is constructed by bureaucracy and corporation and autocracy. And so, because that's really what our planetary existence, the human realm, is fixated on: capitalism and consumerism, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, we also counter-fixate on how those structures are harming nature. But I just feel like generationally, lately, we're just kind of outgunning nature with concerns about human construct. So the planetary moment is just like a lot of that. It's a lot of that. And then I get disoriented, and then I start to, I guess, decompose. My vitality leaves me. But there was this beautiful moment on my weekend. You know, I encounter a planetary person a lot in my partner, where he ends up being kind of allegorical and standing in some way for my relationship to what I've just described about the planetary tone and how I perceive it as someone who's alive on Earth. And it is as simple as sort of naming it and saying, and I'm comfortable with myself, and I'm going to do what I like doing, because what I like doing has been constructed to keep me alive, survive within the human paradigm. So what I mean by that is just that, I mean, I think we were having a discussion where I was talking about his behavior, and I'm not going to get into the details. It's all pretty anodyne, but just like, you know, I don't need you to change, but I know I'm comfortable being the way I am. I'm not trying to be totally oppositional. It's just like, I've done the work. I know that this is what works for me. And, you know, the gist of it is like a kind of, it's not unkind, but sort of like, so, you know, I think you would have to change. And I don't want any of us in partnership to overuse that line. You know, we all are in partnership in order to compromise, I guess. Like, I have come to the realization that I feel as adult where finally, where you're just like, you're going to have to compromise if you're in love with someone. But the best relationship that you can find might be the one where you feel like you're compromising yourself the least. So there's enough commonality so that the compromises are kind of like, yeah, I can give there. Instead of like really line in the sand, like I absolutely can't give there, or we do give there, and because it's a line in the sand that we let be crossed, we're, you know, out of our own element of integrity, right? So that's how I feel. I can stand up to the planetary tones, most mundane or sacrilegious aspect, which is that it is the tone of the planet. And it's problematic. But the part that is religious, as in not sacrilegious, but it is full of luminosity and spiritual importance, the planetary piece that I revere, is just coming back to the ego death that, I mean, here's the reversal, right? Is that when someone is really new age, I think, or spiritual, I don't even know what we call that now, when you're kind of non-denominationally spiritual, or your spirituality is some form of shamanism, you're claiming that, you know, it isn't Christianity or Islam or Buddhism, the philosophy of Buddhism, it's some other thing, and therefore you have a lot of pride in it. You have pride that you're not religious, that you're spiritual, but the spiritual pride has some of the same flavor as religious zealotry. I love how the planetary moment just undermines attachments to, I mean, I'm struggling to finish like the clause or sentence, but it's like, there is ego death in the planetary moment about being acquisitional in any way, including acquisitional about being a good person or a spiritual person, or look at all the good deeds I've done, or look at how spiritual and pure I am. No, I'm just planetary. I'm just planetary, and I'm going to be kept here on Earth experiencing the hothouse of being an incarnated human until I die. Okay, so I think I got that was a long version of what I'm trying to say, which is I think the planetary tone is helpful over 28 days for reminding me that there's not an exit strategy from the planetary experience except death. And within the planetary experience, which you may have a totally different variation than I often describe, which is within the planetary experience, each one of us can carve a safe house. And that's the objective to me of a 28-day planetary moon, is to weigh all the parts of the planetary lifestyle and, you know, find your tiny silver lining, or maybe it's great and giant. Find the silver lining and live there. Live in that. Find the place and stay where you feel the most comfort, because it is shelter from the storm of a kind of discontent or just the chaos. I didn't anticipate saying any of that, so here we go. We're halfway through the podcast. That's my big the blue solar monkey day. So there's two ways you could look at that. Lisa's inner child has gone off, or Lisa is helping to channel or fuse the movement that Jose Arguelles started. He is the teacher where we get all these names, and the one that lives beyond him. You know, I live beyond Jose Arguelles. He was my teacher in that he gave these teachings to people. I'm self-taught from his teachings, not directly taught. But I think he was full of grandiose, generalized statements that felt New Age. And yet, you know, you can find your own silver lining within them that is hugely resonant and comforting, and it is safe to study these calendars. To me, is the maximal safe house of my lifetime from the culture. The end. Like, there's nothing. I mean, I raised two amazing, challenging kids. I was a challenging parent, and that was so focal for my lifetime. But it was just like 20 years of my lifetime. And, you know, I'm already at 25 years of following this calendar every day. So it surpasses even that kind of parenting and the reward and the challenge. So there's so many more rewards than challenges in following this natural time calendar path. I will explain what I mean by that. I mean, there are a few days that I can't stand, and Antipodes drifts in and out of being my nemesis. So sure, there are parts of the calendar that feel like dark vortices for teaching me wholeness. See how broken you are in order to become whole. But I have not had the calendar fail me ever in terms of its information. It just fails me sometimes that life is so hard, but this calendar isn't hard for me. The living is. Describing it through this calendar is practically salvational. But it's meted out day by day by day by day. So I sometimes say these big, grandiose descriptions about what this calendar is meant to me, but I wouldn't want that to be the first thing I say about it. It's just I realized just now in this moment of kind of acknowledging Blue Monkey energy, which is Jose Arguelles's birth astrology, just cumulatively, it's so important, but it's so important that it's just one day at a time, which fits into kind of other ways I've viewed life. And so there's this other facet that we're in the Blue Night Wave spell, which, true to the last couple of podcasts or broadcasts, I don't really know how to talk about the dream that we're living right now, and especially to make it interesting to anyone else. I just know that really foundationally for me, the calendar is living, and it lives because you can easily understand the astrology via another person, which I think is much harder in the Western zodiac. Like, sure, okay, you tell me you're an Aries. I understand what that is. I think I don't know what a Cancer is or a Pisces hardly at all, but there are a handful of the day signs that I'm like, yeah, no, I know what that is, and yeah, you are like that, but it's not enough, right? And there's 12 of them. We get down to nuances very easily and accessibly when we look at people's Mayan birth astrology. That is, you are one of 260 different varietals, but I know what you are. I know what you are because I know your tone, I know your direction, and I know your tribe. And that really makes relationship interesting. And so I'm saying that again, referencing my boyfriend, because he is the support right now. He's a yellow warrior. This is the time that he is supported and supportive. Then we'll be launching into his wave spell. And I just am speaking of that as an example of watching to see what he's doing and realizing it's supportive. You know, even if it feels not supportive, I can look at it and go, well, it is though, you know, look deeper. And, you know, he's very directly supportive in a bunch of ways. It's also the wave spell that supports him. I find myself wanting to be supportive without worrying about how that weighs as a woman. You know, am I codependent? It's just like, it's a fucking 13-day period. Just follow the impulse. But the astrology helps me understand it. And when I said one day at a time, I was saying, well, we break things down into just the dawn to bedtime experience here. And I think that's plenty of being in the now. If you want to deepen it to every breath, great. But getting down to one day and within the waking day is profound also, especially day upon day upon day. So we do that here. And the other thing is just about, like I said, every day is different. So I don't actually say one day at a time when I'm like trying to be kind to someone who's having a hard day. I say, like, well, every day is different. Never meaning to be condescending. Just like, well, God damn it. I hope that every day is different. So if this one sucks, you know, I could wake up tomorrow and it could just be really different. And the same way, if you get on a real winning streak and all the days seem to be lining up aces, that is inevitably going to break. And every day is different. And you can say that in gratitude. You know, I'm having a good run and I'm thankful. I know that every day is different and it could pivot because it's all karmic and it's all tidal. So back to Blue Night, the wave spell. It's peaking tomorrow, and maybe when you're listening it on Tuesday, the 30th of April, it's peaking. And that means that we'll have a planetary day also within a planetary moon, the last and third of the planetary moon. I'm pretty sure we've had three. So that's kind of exponential and interesting. And it reflects why I had to make a big statement about how this planetary moon is really, you know, wears on you a bit. It's been amplified, perhaps. Perhaps by the retrograde, perhaps because it's always in Aries. And I do know enough about Aries to know it's one of the really like bold move fire signs. But in any case, the Blue Night wave spell will peak and it'll be, I don't know what question mark, most dreamlike, most abundant, most intuitive, you know? We're just there. I always hope for intuitive to be every day. That's my aspiration. But, you know, you can check it out. I call myself a psychic, so I feel like there is a personal pledge and demand that I actually maintain intuition. You might find it sort of rare and startling and being really in it right now. And then it's a huge gift that the Blue Night wave spell lives for you as, you know, a portal into being someone who just feels all the unconscious stuff even while you're walking around awake. So the wave will peak and then the wave will break. And in short order, and I'll come back to this next podcast, we will be in the breaking wave of our year. So the spectral tone is next. And the spectral tone of this wave spell is just one day sooner on Wednesday. So again, I think maybe more than anything almost else that I would say is like, hey guys, we're about to enter another discernible transit. When we are in the planetary moon, we're at the peak of a wave. When we're in the spectral moon, we're in a breaking wave that has no more energy to peak. It isn't just a decline, it's a return. So it's a decline in ascension, but it's not the loss of what you found on this journey toward the sun / enlightenment. But it's all going to be very quickly different, and there'll be much to discuss for sure. So meanwhile, here it is on Monday, and we don't hit the spectral moon until Thursday, but you can practice. Today's solar tone turns to planetary tomorrow, turns to spectral on Wednesday, so you can get like a little miniature dry run for how the year is also doing its big wave spell reversal. I mean, it's not the right word. Nothing is going backwards. We're just going forwards, end over end. Hi, I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.